Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. We are here in the studio right now, and we want to start off by saying thank you to Jets Concrete, 321-536-5804. If you need block or concrete work done and you want somebody with decades of experience and lots of professional expertise as to how the job needs to be done, when the job can be done, has the contacts to get the job done in a affordable manner, and you can give the folks at Jits Concrete a phone call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. That number gets you in contact with Greg. Now Greg is not a person that just delegates and just sits around and answers the phone. He is a person who is out there doing the work. And so if you call, he may be up to his elbows in concrete at that point in time and might have to get back in touch with you. But I can personally attest to their work ethic, the quality of their work, and the affordability of their work. So if you would like to avail yourself of that, there's lots of construction going on. And so they know the people at the concrete companies, everything about the industry, they are well-versed in. And so if they can be a blessing to you, give them a call, 321-536-5804. I do want to take one more opportunity to invite you on October the 14th, that'll be a week from Sunday, to our one-day revival services. I spent about 6 or 8 weeks preaching on revival at Merritt Assembly of God, what the Bible has to say about it. And we're going to be having a one-day revival service Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday night at 6:30. And Steve Hoag is going to be speaking for us that day. And if you would like to come out, if you're interested in foster care, the Hoags are actively involved in foster care. They have been children's ministers for a long time. Now they have stepped into this new ministry of foster care. And I believe the title of the ministry is The Church is the Solution. The Church is the Solution. And so if you have any interest in that, you can come. They're going to be sharing a little bit about their ministry. And they're also going to be ministering. We're expecting a phenomenal Sunday in the presence of the Lord. So we want to invite you to come out on that Sunday. That'll be a week from this coming Sunday. And with that being said, I think we're going to get back into the Word of God today. We've been talking about the kingdom of God. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want the kingdom of God to come to earth. I really do. I do not have the capabilities of bringing the kingdom of God to all the earth at this present point in time. But what I do have the authority and the ability to do is to walk in the kingdom of God in my own personal life, to walk in the kingdom of God as far as my family, at Merritt Assembly of God, the church family. And so I do have the ability to help make that prayer a reality. And if we would do that, you know, there's a story of a person that said, you know, when I was young, I wanted to change the world. And then as I got a little older, I said, well, maybe if I can change America. And then I got a little older, and then I said, well, maybe I could change my family. And then he got a little older, and he said, maybe I can change myself. And I think that if we would be focused on walking in the kingdom of God in reality in our own personal life, we would be a lot more influential in our families, which will result into a larger community, and it will cause us to impact the world to a much greater extent. We want to start far away first and save ourselves to last. I think we tend to get that backwards just a little bit. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 9 because we're talking about right now the kingdom of God is a kingdom of covenant, a kingdom of covenant. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to read verses 11 through 14, or I'm sorry, 11 through 20. And so Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11 says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come." I don't know about you, but that sounds absolutely wonderful. That sounds like something that that I would want to be a part of. It. There's a footnote at the bottom of my page that says that there's one of the manuscripts that read, "The Christ has come as high priest of the good things that have come." I want you to know both of those things are a reality. Good things have come and good things are on the way. Let's get back to the word. "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you.' Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission." And we're going to stop with the reading right there at this point in time. So I would also like to share with you, I don't know that I've mentioned this, we call it traditionally the Old Testament and the New Testament, but there's a great deal of evidence that it could also be referred to as the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. I didn't come up with that. That's not a Bob Arthur's original. That is the way that it is referred to. And here we find the word testament and testator and covenant, and they're used in an interrelated manner. It talks about the death of the testator. Well, there was covenant that was established as well. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this testament, this covenant that was established. I want to take you to verse number 14. It says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works?" Okay, so I want to talk to you about four different aspects of this new covenant that is discussed here in Hebrews chapter 9. The first one is that Jesus came to establish this new covenant to cleanse us from our dead works. We've talked earlier this week that it is a covenant of spirit, that it is a covenant of life, and this is a cleansing covenant. I don't know if you get fixated on your failures or not, but my memory has the ability to remember my failures more than my successes. I don't know why that is, but it is. I can remember the things that I blew in high in junior high and high school more than I can remember the successes that I had in high school. And all reality, the successes outnumbered the failures by a great deal. I remember in middle school being traumatized because I got a C. I was not used to getting a C, and it was in wood shop. In that particular year, you had wood shop for one semester, and you had metal shop for the other semester. I had Mr. Whizenhunt and Mr. Utley. Mr. Whizenhunt was metal shop. Mr. Utley was wood shop. And I remember I was traumatized because I was going to get a C in wood shop. How will I ever function in my 50s having got a C in wood shop? Well, nobody has ever asked me since that day, what grade did you get in eighth grade wood shop? You know, we get fixated on, I got a lot more A's than I ever got C's. It just wasn't my favorite class. There are still things about that class that don't make sense in my head, but, you know what happens? My son works with wood on almost a daily basis on, as a supplemental form of income for his family. He's got a job. She's a worship leader. His wife is a worship leader. He's become passionate about working with wood as well. And so he's way better at it than I ever was. And so I'll just take it that, you know what, that woodworking gene just skipped a generation. My kids were more musical than I could ever be. I've got a daughter who's more artistic than I could ever be. But you know what? There are things that I do that they don't do. There are things that I do that they can't do. And so let's allow God to cleanse us, not just in the sense of forgiveness, but also cleanse us from the baggage of failure, from the disappointment of failure, and say, God, you know, those things that I failed in, would you cleanse those by the blood of Jesus Christ so that I can move forward? Don't get anchored down by past failures so that those things dictate your failure to act in what you can do in the now. I cannot do anything to change the grade that I got in eighth grade. Can't do a thing in the world about it. But I am not going to allow a grade from middle school or a rough encounter with a person in seventh grade, I'm not going to allow any of that stuff to dictate what my present ability to function for the glory of God is. I've been told by some people who know more about this than I do that if you experience something traumatic in your life, many times those victims get stuck at an emotional level at the age of what they were when they experienced that trauma. I want to tell you today that God is bigger than that. Bigger than your failure, bigger than your sin, bigger than any horrific experience that you had growing up. Let's allow God to cleanse us. I'm going to put this in the mindset of the cleansing aspect. So please do not connect this thought with me blaming victims. If you were victimized by someone else, I am not blaming you. I'm putting this in the aspect of the cleansing part of what God can do. But in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? He is able to cleanse us. And you and I do not have to be going around weighted down by the baggage of our past when Jesus came to establish a covenant that would liberate us from that. So if you missed a ministry opportunity, ask God to cleanse you from that and empower you to serve him better. You see, because it not only says to cleanse us from dead works, but also to serve the living God. So Jesus came not only to wipe away our sins, he came to equip us, to call us, and to provide us with everything that is necessary to serve the living God. You might not hear that very much. You were redeemed by the covenant of the kingdom of God. You were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ so that you could be freed from your past, so that you can serve God in the present and for all the days to come. So I just want to reach out to you and say, go talk to your pastor. Ask him, what can I do? How can I help? What can I do for the glory of God? There are things that other people do, and they're much more passionate about it than I am. My goal is always to have people who were better and more passionate about things than what I was. So my office manager, I told her this. You know, we had Pastor Appreciation Day this last Sunday, and people said, "Well, you're the best pastor ever," and I don't know about that. I do want to be a phenomenal pastor, but there are so many good pastors out there. It's not a comparison. But I went up to my office manager and I told her, I said, I may not be the best pastor in America, but you are the best office manager around. And no, she's not for hire for anybody else out there. She is truly gifted. So I want a person who is passionate about administration. She runs that office well. I've got a worship leader in Heidi Andriak that she is passionate about worshiping God and experiencing the presence of God. My daughter is doing youth ministry, and I want her to believe that youth ministry is the most important ministry in the church. And my youngest daughter is doing the children's ministry. All of both of those last two are on a volunteer basis, and I want them to realize how important that ministry is and to put their all into it. You see, they are serving God. The people who run our technology and things like that, I want them to understand how important that is. We had a visitor that came, a friend of mine that showed up at church last week, showed up because my daughters, they do our Facebook announcements so that people can keep up. And I've told them, I said, man, those things are just a little too far out there for me in a church setting. But there were people who follow those things on our Facebook page. They get more likes on their announcements than we get from my sermons that are broadcast out there. And so they realize how important that is. They have their finger on the pulse of this day and time in this community better than I do. And so I just want to say, you know, run with it. Run with it. So you have some sort of service. There have never been more opportunities to serve in the kingdom of God than there are right now. Whether it's the gift of cleaning, whether it is the gift of serving, whether it is the gift of administration, operating in spiritual gifts, praying and things like that, God wants you in this new covenant to enter into a covenant of serving. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing if Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father and interceding right now for you and I, he said, you know, I don't think I'm going to serve in this capacity anymore. the Holy Spirit stopped, said, I'm not going to serve in this role as an intercessor. And yet God says he was looking for people who would stand in the gap. He was looking for intercessors. He couldn't find any. And so he said, you know what? I'm going to take that responsibility on myself. You and I, the covenant that we have is not only freedom from our sins and freedom from our past failures or freedom from our past hurts, but it's also in about equipping and serving the living God. And you go on down into verse number 15, and it says, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of the death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant. If you couldn't measure up, maybe you started out serving God a long time ago and you failed and you fell away because you were a disappointment. And let me tell you, the devil will send temptations so that you will fall. And then if you do fall, guess who is the first one right there to say, how dare you disappoint God like that? He doesn't even love you anymore. He is so disappointed in you. And I want you to know, God is not in the condoning of sin business, but he is most certainly not in the condemnation business. He is in the convicting business of bringing us to that place of repentance, but he is not in the condemnation business. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So don't live with that condemnation. Jesus came so that our covenant failures could be redeemed. Where we failed, Jesus succeeded. Where you failed and where I failed, Jesus was a tremendous success. Do not believe the modern theological nonsense that is out there, that Jesus failed in the area of sexual temptation and he failed in this area and he failed. That is garbage. That is absolute. It's not supported in the scripture by any stretch of the imagination. Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life because we couldn't do it. He did that to redeem us. And there's one more thing, and that's in verse number 15 as well. Transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. I have a person that I know, and unfortunately for them, very early in life, they lost both of their parents. And there was an inheritance that was set up for that person that when they reached a certain age, they would get the inheritance that was due them. But it wasn't an eternal inheritance. It was a fleeting inheritance. And it went away. It didn't last. And today, I want you to know that the inheritance you have is more than dollars and cents, and it's more than cars and homes. It's more than the labels on your clothing. I remember watching an episode of something a long time ago where people were ridiculing another person because they were wearing gasp of unbelievable things. They were wearing last year's models of designer brand clothing, the horrors of it all. And they were using putting that person down to make themselves feel good. You know what? Our identity is not in the toys that we have or the possessions that we have. It's not in any of that. Our identity, our eternal inheritance, has everything to do with the covenant that Jesus came to make sure that we could have for all of eternity. Do you realize that there's not going to be a mass? What was it? There was a clothing brand here not too long ago that if all of their clothing didn't sell out by the end of the season, they just went and destroyed it instead of giving it to people who could use some clothing. That it's like, okay, that's just kind of dumb. I understand you want to maintain the value and all of that sort of stuff, but when there are people in need, we can't be destroying things like that. God's never going to have a clothing style that goes out of business. You know what? When the children of Israel came out of Egypt to the Promised Land, the Bible says their sandals never wore out and their clothing never wore out. Their food supply never dried up. Wherever you are in your journey with God today, I want you to know that you not only have a tangible inheritance, you have a relational inheritance. God told Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. In all honesty, for me, getting to heaven is not about the mansion over the hilltop. It's not about the streets of gold. It's not about the crystal sea. It's not about the fact that there's no mortgage, no utility bills, no sickness, no death, no sorrow, no temptation. It is not about any of that stuff. My inheritance that I'm looking forward to is an eternity with Jesus. And the good news is, eternity doesn't start with your last breath. Eternity is here right now. You and I, we need to begin to realize that everything that God wants for us, that we need to start walking in as much of that as possible right now, because we already are in covenant relationship with God. I'm not waiting to heaven. I believe it was the Imperials a long time ago that had a song that talked about they wanted to live so much like Jesus here that when they entered eternity, it wasn't that big of a transition. Let's walk in the fullness of everything that God has for us. The covenant we have with God is not a meager covenant. It's a tremendously lavish inheritance that is ours through the covenant of God. So let's avail ourselves of Him. Amen. Jesus is the reason for any season. He's the reason. Let's walk in covenant with Him today. We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Like sweet refreshing.